We found the perfect house, but there's been no updating it for many years. Then we heard about the FHA 203K, where we can buy that home and get the money to fix it up all in one low interest rate loan. What a great idea.
Hey, welcome to Love My Renovation Project, where we discuss all things regarding the renovation projects, whether they're with FHA 203K, Homestyle, just to name a couple. There's seven other ones out there that we can consult for, along with Standard Construction Consulting. I want to thank you all for bearing with me while the last few weeks. I've been on a cruise, went to the Panama Canal twice, Costa Rica, Jamaica, Cartagena. Jamaica was particularly fun. I had a little gal on the, what they call a tour guide, and I was sitting in the front of the bus. She kept looking to be harassed, so I did, you know, just having fun with her. And at one point, she said, are we friends? And I said, yeah, we're friends. She said, no, we're not friends. About then, the bus took a jolt to the right and then back to the left, and she fell in my lap. I said, I guess we're friends now. And the bus roared. Yeah, but we had a lot of fun. We learned three new phrases in Jamaica. One we had known already, which was Yaman. And then we learned No Man and No Problem Man. Did you know in Jamaica there are no problems? They don't exist. There's only issues, and issues can be dealt with. Well, I like that. I fit right into Jamaica. Anyway, lots of fun, entertainment, more than I imagined. We've got a 22-day cruise planned for next year. Holy cow. That's in the Mediterranean. If you want to go with us, let us know. No, we're not buying your ticket. But you can certainly go with us. We can have some fun talking about 203K on the cruise. There seem to be a great deal of consultants out there thinking there's no work for them, and that's because they're sitting around waiting for the phone to ring. You're not going to get any work to speak of, any volume, from the HUD list. A guy called me yesterday and was explaining to me that he got on the phone in his town to get a consultant, and out of six consultants listed, three of them were removed by HUD for whatever. Maybe they just didn't respond to the last call they got from HUD. But that's hard to believe. HUD takes you off the list if you're not keeping your data up to date. And yet I know two dead people that have been on the list now about 3 and 4 years since they have passed away. And they're still on the HUD active list. That baffles me. How in the world can that be? But they are, so. And yet somebody else that's on the list and wants to be on the list gets taken off because they didn't respond. Let me tell you, those dead people didn't respond either, and it's time HUD got their list together. But there's a lot of consultants that think there's just no work because there's too many consultants in their area. That is farther from the truth than you can imagine. The more consultants in an area, the more everybody does. So if you haven't gotten adequate training, you may want to take us up on our training. Go to 203ksoftware.com. Sign up for one of our training courses. It's cheap at five times the price, and I've been told that by several old-time consultants who took the course just to get my marketing program. They took all of our courses, our software, everything. And when I asked them, they said, well, we want access to you, mostly, and I want access to that marketing program and to be able to call you and make sure that marketing program is doing everything it should be doing for us. So, if you'd like to be part of the show today, call us at 888-627-6008. Toll free and ask your renovation questions or tell us a little bit about a project that you're having. That guy the other day that called, I guess it was just Friday. It was not the other day. just 2 days ago, and said that there was out of the six consultants in the area that he called, three of them were off the list, so he didn't call them, and the other three, one of them he never got to call because the second one responded, went out, and then he pulled this bait and switch type operation. That's what it sounded like to me. He gets there to do a consultation and changes it all by himself to a home inspection so he could get $300 for the home inspection. Then he thought he'd go back and get the consultation on top of that. Well, if it's FHA, your consultation and quasi-home inspection / it's not a home inspection is included with the consultation. So don't be pulling any, you got to have a home inspection, you got to have a termite inspection, you got to have this and the other thing before I come out, and then go out and do a home inspection and charge them for it, and then wait for the other stuff. Home inspection is not required. Home style loan, a written inspection report is not required. You still have to go make an inspection. How else would you know what to put on the scope of work? It's included in the cost of the consultation. So don't be forcing these people to have a home inspection on top of that. It's not necessary, it's unwarranted, and it makes you look cheap and it ruins the business for the rest of us. Okay. So, if you have a problem with your renovation project and you don't mind discussing it on live radio, please call in. If you want to do it privately, go to 203k911.com. We just revamped that website. There's a lot of consultants listening to this program, and I want you all to know if you need someone to talk to, you can call us too, and we'll help you guide you through what we would do in that same situation. And sometimes it's the same thing you would have done, but now you have confirmation. So feel free to give us a call. We help everybody, whether you took your training from us or not. We get in more depth if you take your training for us, and you probably never will need to call us. But either way, it's fun. We have fun helping people. Homeowners, they sometimes get between a rock and a hard place because they don't do a renovation loan every day. Well, we do. We literally do at least one a day, and sometimes two, three, four, and five a day with our crew. So if you got a topic you need to talk about, you got nobody on your side of the equation, and you just got to have somebody to talk to that knows the program inside and out. A couple years ago, a gal called me from Ohio. Said, we're just at our wits' end. We don't know. The lender's not helping us in any way. The consultant doesn't know what to do. He seems like a nice guy, but he has no knowledge of how to handle our problem. Apparently, the contractor scared with a lien, scared the lender into paying his fee for work that was shoddy. And when I heard that, I told the people exactly what to say in an email. And down at the bottom, I said, carbon copy me, CC Mike at my203kconsultant.com. And when they did that, I got a phone call from the lender. Mr. Young, why is this guy in Ohio calling you or including you on the email? And I said, well, frankly, he's got nobody on his side. You guys certainly haven't been doing your job. You let this thing go on and on, and then you're intimidated by the contractor. A lien is not necessarily a bad thing. I know in California, I took a course on lien, on the lien process, and found out and have saved many customers lots of money when the contractor does substandard work and files a lien on the property. Number one, he can't file a lien for things he hasn't done, and he quite often includes the entire bill, entire invoice. He's got bad intel. And secondly, when it comes time, he has to perfect that lien. What I mean by that is he has to get you in front of a judge, and in California at least, he has 90 days to do that. On the 91st day, if he does it, or after, or if he doesn't do it at all, he has waived his lien rights, and you don't owe him another cent. So why would the lender be scared of a lien? You know, yes, it will delay the process a little bit, but it may be the best thing to get this thing taken care of. But if you have a topic you'd like to discuss in more specific terms and you don't want to be on the radio, go to 203K911, go down to the contact button, and leave us a message. Tell us about your project, what's the problem, and we will be happy to get a hold of you. And that first call is absolutely free, and your entire process may be free. It just depends on what it is. We've been able to help over 400 people solve their issues without a fee attached to our service. Because even though the problem was exasperating to the borrower and it seemed like a big deal, it was such a little deal, we were able to do it over the phone, tell them what to do, they did it, and solved their problem. And we're so thankful and shocked that they didn't have a fee from us, a charge in any way. Now, sometimes we do charge, and if you want us to do it all for you, then we're going to charge you. But if we can tell you what to do and have you do it, that's the cheapest way to handle this, and you haven't dug yourself deeper into a money pit. So let's go ahead and get on with this. We'll get one question out of the way anyway, but before our 1:15 break. I'm a new investor. How can I get started? What's the best way? Well, I'm a guest speaker at Merritt College in Oakland about once a quarter. Yeah, I know. I live in Las Vegas. I have to drive up there to help this instructor, but he's a friend of mine. I'm happy to do it. And there's usually about 50 or 60 people in the class that I can open their eyes up to something other than the MLS as a source for properties. So this new investor calls up and says, how can I get started? What's the best way? Well, I'm a big proponent of mixed-use building investment, especially for new investors, young investors, people who don't already own a house, maybe. You'll get your feet wet, so to speak, in both commercial and residential investing. This will help you learn which one you want to pursue. I know I love my industrial property investments. My father and brother and I made several investments together over the years. One of them was an industrial property. We were able to pay our investors 52% a year interest on those properties. And then turn around and hand them back. Let's see, we handed them back four times their investment, if I recall. Four times their investment back, plus another 52% a year. Excuse me, the first one, for the first 3 years, was 10%. And then we sold the building and carried the mortgage. So we were able to sell the building, pay everybody back four times their original investment, and then 52% a year for 25 years. So I love industrial property. Many times when you buy an industrial property, you're not going to get it with an FHA 203K, but you can get it. There are some deals, and if you have one that you think you're looking at, get with me. I'll do the first one with you. But a lot of times you can strip the copper and the aluminum out of that industrial property and more than pay for the entire property. I know a friend of mine that in North Carolina, by the way, that bought an industrial property. He bought a lot of them, but this particular one he shared with me. Bought the property. The lender was asking $3 million. He paid him cash. And then he took $9 million in copper and aluminum out of that complex. And overhead cranes. Lots of things that he could recycle and put out in the industry, you know, and make his money back. He actually made $6 million on that, still had the buildings to rent out. Okay? Live-work is one of the forms of mixed use that I like. We did one on 38th Avenue years ago in Oakland, California. It was a warehouse, brick warehouse. We turned it into live-work residential units with only 3.5% down payment. So here you've got a warehouse that's being sold for 3.5% down. They left the roll-up doors on it, but when you rolled up the door, one of them had a storefront. The other one, I don't know what it did, but they could back their truck into theirs, and they leased the other half out. FHA loan limits have been increasing dramatically, and that includes the FHA 203K. Most real estate professionals are missing the boat with mixed-use buildings because they can sell them for 3.5% down. One of my favorite was an 8-unit building. It was all studios. Client picked it up for $2,500, which was the back taxes, and renovated it, took and turned it into, I think it was three, four bedrooms and a 3-bedroom or something on that order. And it was a cash cow. It was a cash cow. So, wow. This time we're having so much fun. Anyway, I am going to break here because we have our 1:15 break. I'll be back with you in just a minute, so please stay tuned with us. And when you come back, be ready to call us at 888-627-6008. Hang in there. We'll be right back after this short break.
We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
Hey, yes, we're back. Ta-da! We're talking about commercial uses on mixed-use buildings. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. We're glad to have you here. If you don't call in, thank you for listening. But we have warehouses that we've turned into live-work. You can go up to 4 units. The owner must live in 1 unit, but you know, if you're a young investor, you need an office to work out of. So you do a live work, you make the front half of the building, or the front 49% commercial. And you have your offices. You use the back half as your residence. If you're doing a multi-story building, your upstairs residence, you can have up to 4 residential units. And you've got the commercial downstairs. You can take one of those commercial spaces and turn it into your office. I had a young contractor do that once in Oakland, again, 87th Avenue. It was industrial, about 87th and industrial. It was a corner. He now could live upstairs. He had his, design center and a nice office to work out of. He had a yard in the back where he could park his trucks. He could literally look out his back window of his kitchen and look down on his trucks to know that they're safe at all times. So it's all kinds of possibilities. Realtors out there who are selling commercial and mixed-use buildings, you're missing the boat if you're not selling them via 203K. Because you can sell them for 3.5% down. 3.5% down. So you've got this single-story commercial building that you keep getting back over and over. You keep selling it, and people just can't survive there. So you add a second story. Now it's mixed use. You sell it for 3.5% instead of 35% down. And the owner lives upstairs. So now he's less likely to be ripped off downstairs. And he's got a place for his business. So this is all good stuff. You know, I am shocked at the number of realtors that would rather say, oh, I stay away from the 203K. I don't want any part to do that thing. It takes forever to close. Well, that's just not so. It might have been so back prior to 1994, before consultants existed, but that's why consultants exist. Just be careful. When you're doing a mixed-use building, the commercial interior cannot be upgraded with the 203K. If you do, you've committed fraud, and I caught some of that a couple of years ago. I took a project over from another consultant, and he built all this repair work on the commercial side of it. And Mara said, no, no, this is not commercial. Yes, it was. It absolutely was. It was totally fraud. But, you know, we do our best. And I reported it. The lender said, oh, no, 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 don't you dare mention that to anybody else. And if you'd call HUD, HUD would just say, tell the lender. They'll take care of it. Well, yeah, you tell the lender, and they'll take care of doing absolutely nothing. So, next question came in over the last week or the last couple of weeks while I was gone. Permits required. There seems to be a lot of discussion about the contractor not requiring a license for a 203K or not requiring permits. Anytime you have a contractor on a job, it's my opinion, and many lenders agree that they should be licensed. Okay. Now, if you're in Texas, they don't require licensing of contractors. That seems weird to me because they do require licensing of home inspectors. So if you're a home inspector, you have to have a license. You have to go through a rigorous testing program. But if you're a contractor, I can move in tomorrow, open a contracting business, and start contracting, even though I don't know anything about contracting. Well, that's not exactly true, but if I knew nothing about it, I still could do it. And that's wrong, in my opinion. Texas needs to step up to the plate. Either licensed contractors or unlicensed home inspectors. So anyway, we've always offered a list of potential contractors. When somebody does a 203K with us, we usually hand them a list of three or four contractors who've been successful in the past with a disclaimer. You know, if you haven't, you can use this list or you can use any other list. You can use the phone book, call a friend. However you do it, it is your responsibility to choose the contractor. These contractors have been successful in the past, but it does not mean they will be successful in the future. So you need to interview a couple of contractors, get maybe a couple, three of them to bid. But if you do that, be careful. If they know they're bidding against more than one other person, quite often they won't even talk to you again. They won't bid your project. So you need to keep that between you and your partner and not your contractor. We have a couple of people right now that I'm dealing with who are project managers for a living. That's what they do. They're a project manager. And they want to be the manage their own subcontractors. Now, they are perfectly qualified to do that. Most lenders will not let that happen. There are a few that will. I mean, if you can show them that this is what you do for a living, your consultant is going to give you a bid on that project that we feel is fair. Now, recently I had a guy call me up and he says, my God, we got a contractor bid, a bona fide bid for $65,000 or $62,000. And this consultant comes out there, eyeballs the project, doesn't do anything, doesn't put any numbers down, doesn't do any calculating. He just said, this is going to be a $120,000 project. It's not a $62,000 project. It's twice that. So how did he determine that? Well, just from his common knowledge of the area, I guess. But is he right? No, if I have a licensed contractor, a bona fide bid, then that contractor is going to be on the hook to do it for that price. I don't care what his problem is, but he may leave town if he feels he hasn't put enough profit in it. Or if he has to use his profit to finish the job. There are a handful of contractors who will be honorable and finish that job regardless. If they run out of money or not, they'll pull money out of their bank and they'll fix that job because their reputation warrants them taking care of their reputation. But self-help feature of the 203K is not available to everybody. Most lenders say if you are doing self-help, you must be a licensed contractor in the state where your house is. So you can't be moving from one state where you're licensed into a state where you're not licensed, except Texas, because they don't require a license, and become a contractor immediately on your own project. But job superintendents, people who manage subcontractors all the time, they should be able to do their own 203Ks. You just have to look for that contractor that will let you do that. Getting back to where we were here, let's see. In any case, with thousands of these projects completed, we've only been added to a lawsuit a few times. That was less than five. And that was all back in 1994 when we were just learning what we were doing. Homeowner contractor was, and they're at odds. My most fun one was whenever we do a consultation, the consultant agreement clearly states that any and all inspections you have or have done prior to close, we must review. So this guy takes me to court after the job is totally finished and says, tries to get me to pay for a sump pump and a French drain around his house. So he presents his case, which was kind of hilarious. And I listened patiently. Then the judge looked at me and he said, well, Mr. Young, what do you have to say? And I said, well, I've submitted some exhibits. If you'll look at Exhibit 1, page 30, you'll see some photographs. He's got an engineer's report that was issued prior to close of escrow, which he agreed to show me anything that he got prior to close of escrow. He failed to show that to me. So he was clearly holding that information away from me in order to try to get something now. But if you look at on page 30 or 35, whatever it was, picture number 2, that is a sump pump. And it is fed by a French drain that goes all the way around the house. This house is sitting in a hole. Anybody would require that. But because it already had one, two things happened. One, the engineer has never been to the property or he would have seen it. It's not hidden very well. You just move one board out of the way and you see the pump. It's all automatic. It's all set there. It's fully functional at the time of my inspection. Now, since the engineer is requiring it, it's clear to me that he's never been there. He's never looked at it, never inspected the house, and that he's in cahoots with the borrower to try to get something for free. And the lender looked at that. He says, what do you say to that to the client? And the client says, oh, I didn't realize that. He says, well, you didn't give Mr. Young the report in a timely fashion, and it already has what you're suing him for. Mr. Young is dismissed. So we left. There you go. I got a kick out of another client that went to court against the contractor saying that, well, they didn't replace these windows. It went all the way to the floor. Well, when I really did the first inspection, the initial inspection, we looked and I didn't see any signature or any sign that glass was tempered glass. So I called for it to be replaced with tempered glass. During the course of construction, contractor actually found those faded notifications that we already had tempered glass there. So I had to get out of my belly and look, and there it was. It was faded, but it was there. So we did a change order so that we didn't do it, and then she sues the contractor for not replacing that per the scope of work. I said, well, it may not have replaced it, but it didn't need to be replaced according to the change order and our reinvestigation. So, see, we're coming up hard on this break again. Got too much here to try to squeeze in before the break. So, we're going to go ahead and take another short break. Please call us at 888-627-6008 to be part of the show. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back with you.
We found the perfect house, but there's been no updating it for many years. Then we heard about the FHA 203K, where we can buy that home and get the money to fix it up all in one low interest rate loan. What a great idea.
Hey, welcome back. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. Glad to have you. If you not want to be on the air, then that's fine, too. We appreciate you listening. Okay, let's see where we was. I was here. Okay, permits. Contractors in the 203K loan program are finding it different from standard renovation and new home construction. The biggest transition is not getting money to begin the work. There's no upfront money. It doesn't matter if when you bid the job, you input that you want 10% down to start the work. It doesn't matter. The program doesn't allow it. It didn't used to allow. Now, you can get some upfront money if your consultant is on the ball and knows what he's doing. The full 203K program requires work to be completed to gain any monetary contribution from the borrower or their loan. That means there's no upfront money until something has been accomplished on the site. Well, many lenders now allow some advance money on custom cabinets, special windows, anything that the contractor signs an agreement for delivery at a later date. You can get your upfront 50% deposit on those materials. Okay, so that's a good thing. Last week I had a lender tell me that they couldn't pay anything on finished flooring stored on the site or cabinetry stored on the site. The same lender on a different project called me and said, hey, we've got the same scenario, but he didn't know about the other scenario. He just explained the scenario. But we've got cabinets that have been delivered. I need you to do a draw and give them the cabinet money because it's on site and stored. Yes, I can do that. What gets me is the same lender has different criteria for these different projects. Some of them don't have a clue. Okay. The lenders that we deal with typically have taken our course, many of them. Now, we explain to them that they need to be consistent because that's one of the reasons that they can't close a loan or they take 45 to 60 days to close a loan is there's no consistency. They're not relying on the rest of the team to do the work. The left hand doesn't always know what the right hand is doing. But please don't misunderstand. I'm not complaining. Other lenders are typically paying for these items prior to installation when the request is made. Current guideline says they can pay up front for items contracted for delivery at a later date. So that would cover a number of these items, including cabinets, floor coverings, windows, roofing, materials. All you have to do is sign a contract for delivery in 2 weeks. Submit it for payment. You get 50% of the money for the roofing, 50% for the cabinets. You get all this stuff just with a contract for delivery at a later time. We continue to offer training to contractors that would like to get more involved with the 203K. In fact, I got one we're working with right now. He wants to become a consultant. He doesn't really want to be a consultant, but he found out that consultants are typically the first person on the job. And they put a bid together. And they get paid to put a bid together. Wow. So why not have the contractor become the consultant long enough to get to that point? And then if he wants the job, he transitions. He turns that over to another consultant. They do a plan review, which still requires an on-site inspection. They end up losing a portion of that money they collected for bidding the job. But they get the job. So the 203K, limited 203K, or as some people call it, the light version, is for smaller, less intrusive projects that allows for 35 to 50% of the money to be paid up front at closing in advance of any commencement of the work. In this case, there's only one more payment for each trade contractor, and up to 5 trade contractors can be used on a single project. So you can hire a roofer, you can hire a framer, Well, you can't do framing because that would be structural. But you can hire a roofer, you can hire a kitchen guy, you can hire, put in the new windows. Each one will have its own contractor. A lot of people say, yeah, yeah, we got a program like that with Home Depot or with Lowe's. No, you don't. Not really. Home Depot and Lowe's hire award a contractor a job. So you may get the award to be the window supplier for all of the jobs that Lowe's or Home Depot gets in the area. What does that tend to do if you know you've got the thing locked up? It tends to lead to higher prices. There's no competitive edge. There's no competition involved. I know I'm the contractor that has the Home Depot contract. I can charge anything I want. And they do. So I recommend that you look around and at least get a second bid from some other contractors. Originally, the concept of the 203K was to spread the wealth. So they set up some conflicts of interest. So if you're the contractor, you can't be the inspector because you'd be inspecting your own work. You can be the consultant, okay, but you can't be the inspector. Originally, it was you couldn't be the consultant or the inspector. And Ken Crandall, who worked with HUD to create consultants and design their thing, and I had discussions over this many years ago, 1994-ish, and I explained to him that there's no conflict between being the consultant and the contractor on the same project. The conflict becomes between being the draw inspector and the contractor. So, what you get around that is as soon as you get the job, if you're going to become the contractor and you started off as the consultant, now you want to be the contractor. All you have to do is get a hold of another consultant in the area. The project's already written up. You give it to them. They come out and do a plan review. And they add anything else that they feel must be added. So, you can't slide through there and underbid because your scope missed some items. I remember one I had that I told the guys, well, you guys did a nice job putting this bid together, but you missed the control panel. You got a 30-amp fuse box, and that provides power to the entire house. We have to have minimum 100-amp service. And the contractor started telling me about, well, look, we're way out here in the boonies. There's not 100 amps at that pole to bring to this house. And I said, really? Wow, that's the first time I've heard that. By the way, let me reintroduce myself. I've worked as the electrical instrument specialist, and we worked at Stauffer Chemical. And we worked on service between, you know, milliamps all the way up to 4,160 volts. And you'd be amazed at what's in that pole outside. And then I glanced at the house across the next door neighbor, and I saw this huge panel there. Well, the woman in that house noticed it. She'd come out on the porch and said, can I help you? I see you're looking in my house. And I said, well, yes, ma'am. I was admiring that big old electric panel you got there. Oh, that's a 600-amp panel. And I got another one out there on the barn. I said, amazing. Thank you. We're going to have to upgrade this one to 100-amp. And the contractor, of course, he was beet red. And I thought, did you really think you were going to put that buy on me? Give me a lie and have me bite on it and chew up and go with your lie? Did you really? And he was just totally embarrassed. And I didn't trust him anymore forever after, right? So the concept originally was to spread the wealth. So these conflicts of interest were set up. Taking that a step further, when you put a 203K project together and you're putting the work out to bid, we'd like to see you make every attempt to use the contractors who are in the neighborhood if possible, because they hire from the neighborhood. Your home buyer is buying a house. They're making an investment in this neighborhood. So it only makes sense for their benefit to benefit the neighborhood. So if they go 100 miles away and bring in a contractor from, let's say we're doing a job in Richmond and they go to San Jose to get a contractor and bring him up there, he's going to take his profits. He's going to make his employees from down there in San Jose. He's going to take his profits home to San Jose and spend them in his neighborhood to make his neighborhood better. So if you can find a contractor close to your project, maybe somebody from your neighborhood, he's going to hire from your neighborhood most likely, and he's going to spend his money in your neighborhood, thus making your property more sustainable. So you don't want to go outside your area very often for this help. The next question came in is, can I use more than one contractor on my project? Well, yes and no. If you're doing a limited 203K, you're allowed up to 5 trade contractors. What I mean by that is you can have a GC that does a lot of the little stuff. You can have a roofer. Now we're back to that. If you're doing a little drywall repairs, you can have a drywaller. You're going to build a kitchen, you can have a plumber. These are trades, and those are trade licensed trade contractors. If you're doing a full 203K, you're not supposed to break it down. You're supposed to have one licensed contractor where states require licensing for contractors. So the borrower wanted to do a self-help and manage 2 contractors on the project. On the surface, it seemed doable. Then the lender said, we don't allow self-help. How can we still get the 203K accomplished? Let's hear from you on this. If you've got anybody out there and you've got an idea how this might be accomplished, call us. Let's talk about it on here. You can reach us at 888-627-6008. Come on. I'm going to leave this question alone for a second, and I'm going to go to the next question, and we'll come back to this question after the break in a little while. So 203K program is a guarantee program. It's not a loan. Remember, HUD is made up of 2 entities, FHA and VA. VA actually loans money. FHA is an insurance company that guarantees loans made by private banks and public banks. So the 203K program is all about purchase and refinance. It includes money for the renovation on what will become a 1-to-4-unit building. So if you've got 6 units and you can bring it down to 4, that would qualify. If you got 8 units and you can bring it down to 4, that would qualify. If you've got a commercial building and you're going to break it into residential or mixed use, that would qualify. So it's whatever it is after the work is finished, not necessarily what it is at the time you make the loan. You can contact us. If you go to the 203konline.com, which is one of our websites, go down and near the bottom, there's some handy PDF downloads. Download the basics. And look at it. It'll tell you all the things you can and can't do with both limited 203K and standard or full 203K, as well as the Fannie Mae Homestyle. I've had lots of people on blogs ask, where can I find the guideline for the Fannie Mae Homestyle? Well, it's there too. It's one of those handy downloads at 203konline.com. Scroll down, you'll see the Fannie Mae Homestyle guideline. Sometimes it's easier to find these things on my websites than it is on the Fannie Mae or the FHA websites. But in any case, we're going to take a short break. Call us when I get back at 888-627-6008. And let's talk about that. Can I have more than one contractor on my project? We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood. but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
Hey there, welcome back. So Mike, love my renovation project with Mike Young. Okay, we were talking about, can I have more than one contractor on the project, on my project, at the same time? Well, we've completed a few with multiple contractors. Don't like it, don't want to have any part of it. It became nightmares in both cases. But one of the first one we tried was this homeowner got bids. The first thing he did was he looked at the two bids and he said, well, this guy is lower on these 10 items and that guy's lower on those 10 items. So I want to use both of these guys and just cut out all the stuff that they were going to make their profit on, actually. He didn't say it that way, but ultimately that was the goal, was to cut him down and let him only have the stuff. Well, first off, they lose interest. So all of our bids since then, this was back in 1995, all of our bids since then, we only allow one general contractor. Now, twice or three times, we've had deals where there's a septic replacement, a septic system replacement, and that can be $36,000. And your general contractor would put in 10% profit, 10% overhead, and manage that construction as well. Call them out there when they're needed. And by the way, that work has to be the first work done on a 203K. Anyway, so what we do is we try letting that happen. And that saves 20% on $30,000 or $6,000 that we saved for the homeowner because the contractor didn't have to put his markup. The other day, I went out to inspect a new septic system on a homestead. When I get there, snow on the ground, go around behind the house, and they've got the septic tank about 2 feet from the house, 18 inches to 2 feet from the house. Well, that was an FHA loan. You couldn't do it. It has to be 10 feet from the house. So the guidelines are not the same from each of these programs. Personally, I would say, let's put the septic tank 10 feet away so when we go to sell this place, we can sell it to FHA buyers. Double, maybe triple your potential sales market. In any case, the big thing is that no contractor wants to be on the job at the same time another contractor is on the job, both generals, because it becomes a liability. If one contractor, let's say contractor A, is insured and doing everything right, contractor B isn't, but has an accident on the job, the contractor that is licensed, the contractor that is insured with workers' comp, is going to get a bill. And he had nothing to do with it. He wasn't managing it. It wasn't his employee. But he took the responsibility. They don't want to be out there at the same time. This one in 1995 happened. Neither contractor wanted to be the first one on the job. And after 4 months of nobody doing any work, they asked me to get involved. So I contacted the contractor A, and I said, what's going on? When are you going to start? As soon as contractor B is finished. I'm not going to be on the job at the same time as this other contractor. Interesting. Same thing that contractor B said, the same thing about contractor A. So I instructed him, okay, you get out there. He's not going to be on a job until you're finished. Okay, so they got out there and they finished the job. But what happens, these bids are typically all or nothing at all. Look at the bottom line. If this contractor's low on the bottom line, he's the one that gets the job. It's that simple. It's not rocket science, people. But you can't cherry pick the job. Say, well, he's low on these 10 items, and this guy's low on those, so we'll have two guys, and each will do the lowest one. what you've done is you've taken all this fun and profit out of the business, out on your job. And I'm surprised that they don't just throw the contract in your face and say, here, do it yourself. I don't care. I don't need your business. I don't need a loser. But it is funny that many contractors will have a specialty, something they do better than anybody else, and they bid it accordingly. But they can probably still make money at it because they do it differently. I know we had one years ago in a duplex in a earthquake-prone city of Richmond, Point, Richmond, California. A duplex. Somebody had gone in and tried to dig out a basement. Well, they didn't shore anything up. They didn't save or try to support the building. They just went in and started digging. And they dug. There's 4x4 posts and a concrete pillar. And then 4 feet of dirt straight down cut about 12 inches square. So it never had a proper footing, which is 24 inches round, about 14 inches deep. It had a patio pier holding these duplex up. One contractor bid the job at $10,000. Another one bid it at $80,000 or $60,000. The $60,000 was going to take all the weight off the building, knock out all that stuff out of there, dig the foundation, dig the basement out, and then put footings. The other one was just taking, not touching the existing footings, shore everything up so it wasn't going to fall while he was working on it. And he brought, in those spaces where they dug it out, he brought the new piles and footings in between the other ones and just resupported it. He had a much better way to do it. When I first asked him, you know, how can you do that for $10,000? He said, well, I'm not going to do it the way you've got it there. I'm going to do it this way. But I don't want to tell you how I'm going to do it until you know I know I have the job. I said, well, if you tell me how you're going to do it, you got the job. If I believe that it'll do the job. So he did, and we did, and he did the job. And I thought he was extremely innovative. Did a fantastic job. Realtors, if you're not doing the 203K because of something you heard about someone else who had a problem 30 years ago or 20 years ago, 25 years ago, that's the wrong reason, because all those problems are gone. They don't exist now if you have a consultant who knows what he's doing. Because you can possibly get mortgage lenders, a refi with nobody down. I get a kick out of people who come into your real estate office, and I ask this quite often when I speak in front of real estate associations or real estate office groups. I said, has anybody here ever had a client walk into your office, sit down with you, say, I'm looking to buy a house. I want a 3-bedroom, 2-bath in this neighborhood. And you got them. You got a ton of them there. And you say, okay, well, how much is your down payment you have saved up? Well, why do they need to know that? They need to know that so they can tell you what kind of loan you're going to be looking for and know where to send you for a lender. But many times these homeowners will say, oh, I've heard about all this no money down real estate. I was going to get it with no money down. And the agent sends them out the door and tries to hit them with the door on the way out. I have to laugh because when I ask that question, they all say, yeah, I had one today. I had two yesterday. I had three to five last week. And the laughter is overwhelming. And I said, I tell you what, take the newest agent in your office, all of you. Take the brand newest agent in your office, and when a borrower comes in with that stupid statement, I want to buy with no money down, send him over there to that new agent and have the new agent bring him to me. All of a sudden, their laughter becomes silence. Well, wait a minute. If you can sell them a property with no money down, I don't want to give it up to somebody else. I said, well, you were hitting them in the door on their way out, and she laughed at them. And now you want their business? Boy, you guys are one-sided. and gals, by the way. So they all want to know now, how can you sell a property with zero down? I said, has anybody ever heard of the FH or the VA loan? Well, sure. I said, that's a zero money down loan. Oh. I said, has anybody ever heard of the REIA, Real Estate Investment Association? You've got a real estate investors in there that have just bought and they're wanting to flip these houses. They fixed them all up. Nothing wrong with these houses. And I'll bet you that many of them will sell it with no money down. As long as they get most of their money on the loan end of it. So there's lots of ways to get around this. If you're refinancing and you have a lot of equity in your house, you very well could refinance with no money out of your pocket. Now, your consultant is going to get paid. He's going to get paid at the time of the inspection. So what happens is, as he gets paid, you're going to get reimbursed at the closing, at the loan closing. Okay? So when you get reimbursed, we are not going to carry the loan, not for 1 minute. So it's not up to us to carry the loan. We can't. We're not supposed to. We're not supposed to be involved with that loan in a monetary fashion. So don't ask your consultant to carry the loan till closing. That makes us part of the transaction. You call us up and say, hey, we're trying to borrow more than he qualifies for. You need to cut something out. Can we not replace those? Can we not replace that? You know, that makes us part of the transaction. We're not going to be part of the transaction. So please don't have us put us in that box. Okay? Anyway, so they all stop laughing when you tell them that you can put those people in the house regardless of whether they think you can or not. That's not going to happen. Anyway, I see we're running up against the clock. I do appreciate you being here today. I wish you would call in. We really like the calls. They make our show more interesting for all, including me. So, but thanks for being here. We appreciate it. Join us next week, Sunday, between 1 and 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, as we broadcast to you from our Las Vegas offices. Look forward to seeing you next time. Please bring your questions and plan on calling next time. Thank you so much for being here. Bye-bye.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you love? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.